Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m., and then we'll hang out for the first hour of the Steve Cochran Show. Phone number 312-981-7200, and it's also our text number. You can check us out at Twitter and at facebook.com/NickDShow, where you should like us. So my guest right now is one of America's foremost voice experts and the creator of VoiceWorks Method. And her name is Lisa Popiel, and she has her Total Singer DVD and Skype singing lessons that are offered as well. And you can check out popiel.com. That's P-O-P-E-I-L.com. And we welcome Lisa to the show. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, Nick.
All right. So when did you start singing? When did you become musical? Have you always had that in you?
Well, that's a good question. I still wonder today if I really am naturally talented or not. I don't think so. When I was four, we had a piano in the house, and my mother said, "Would you like piano lessons?" And I said, "Okay." And I started, and I didn't stop. And then when I was six, my mom said, "Do you want to take singing lessons?" And I said, "Okay." So without that opportunity, I don't think we'd be talking today. I loved my music lessons. I didn't stop. I went on, got a master's degree in music and voice. I find that the learning is the most interesting part of it. The doing is fun. Mm-hmm. But particularly for singing, and for learning about how the voice works, even in speech, it's infinitely fascinating to me. I do research. I'll go to any lab that'll have me. I love to lay in MRIs and put cameras down my throat, because there's not a lot we know still about how the mechanism works. And it's just so interesting, because we depend on it, and yet it's invisible, and people often don't even know where their voice box is located. I'll say to a student, "Okay, touch your voice box," and they'll touch the bottom of their neck around their thyroid gland. Said if they really knew what an amazing little box it is, I think people would take care of their voice more if they realized how intricate it is and how small the vocal cords are and what they do for us on a daily basis. Mm.
What are, in discovering more about voice, what were some of the biggest surprises that you discovered in researching what the voice really is and does?
One of the biggest surprises is how big the human vocal range is. I work with a lot of professional singers and teachers who study with me, and they don't know their range. If you are an instrumentalist, you play piano, you play oboe, you play tuba, you would know your lowest note and your highest note. Mm-hmm. But very rarely do people actually test to see what their lowest and highest note is. And the ranges are always much larger than they thought. They'd say, "Oh, I have an octave and a half," or "I might have two octaves." And they're thinking, "What would I perform with? What do I feel comfortable with?" But what the absolute range is usually 3 1/3 octaves. I mean, it's huge. Mm. And it's really easy to find out what the low note is and high note is. And it always surprises people. They had no idea they could sing that low and that high. It doesn't mean it's performable or beautiful, but that their vocal cords can make those sounds. It's part of our identity, too. You know, we know our eye color, our hair color, our social security number. But rarely do people know their vocal range. And it's genetic. Oh, you know, it's just like your height. It's just the size of your vocal cords. And so that's really a fun thing to experiment with people.
Are people surprised when they're doing your classes and can suddenly find more range? Are they surprised by that?
Oh, yeah, they're shocked and delighted. Another thing that's really interesting is that we have two basic ways the chords vibrate. One we call chest voice, like what we're using right now. And then the other one is the head voice. Just that if we looked at the chords, you could see that they moving differently with each other. And I only learned last year by experimentation that I could take my chest voice, my talking sound, all the way to my highest note. And I could take my Julia Child sound, I could take it to my lowest note. I didn't know that either.
Wow.
So there's many mysteries yet to be discovered.
I was going to say, you're still discovering things, and you've been doing this for years.
Yes. I have been doing voice and interested in voice and trying to be the best singer I can be for shockingly over 50 years. And I'm not bored with it yet. I love to go to voice conferences and see what other people are doing and find out the latest in voice research and voice care, medical care. It's fascinating, the new surgeries that are happening and how voice doctors work with the common problems people have with their voice, which can make their personal and their professional lives a nightmare. You know, we take our voices for granted, but if you had no voice, if you or I had no voice, our lives would be very, very limited. So there's a whole field of voice science out there. There's a voice medicine, care for the professional voice, some good work that's going on, and it's still early days.
What are some of the misunderstandings and mistakes that singers make? I mean, if you hear someone singing, can you hear what they're doing wrong?
I only need to hear a singer sing for a few seconds, and I can, with my ears, analyze the height of their voice box, the degree to which their cords are closed or open. I can analyze the resonance that they're using. I can get an oral snapshot of everything that they're doing, air pressure, because it's not infinite. There's only certain elements, and I know what does what and what controls what. And one of the most common problems that singers make, whether they're experienced or not, is inadequate support. And what I mean by that is that in order for the vocal cords to vibrate, the air which hits them from underneath must be under pressure. And that pressure has to be quite strong, actually, kind of like the pressure required to blow candles out on a
mm-hmm,
cake.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just put air on the candles. You have to put wind. You have to blow fairly hard to get the flames to go out. And it's the same thing with the vocal cords. They don't vibrate themselves. They don't actually work themselves. So they do a few things like pick a length when we think of a pitch. The higher the pitch is, the longer they are, and the lower the pitch we want to sing, the shorter they get. And there are other elements that happen that come from our thought. But the actual vibration of them is they don't vibrate themselves. So they think of them as little tiny flaps on the size of a penny total, and two flaps flapping together. So when people sing, they tend to use their neck, or they grab their neck, or they tighten their jaw, or they tighten their tongue, or they don't open their mouth. All very natural ways to seemingly control singing. But in fact, those things don't create a very nice sound.
Hmm.
So when someone knows exactly how to use their chest, their ribs, the upper belly, the lower belly, they have very precise jobs, and they're not intuitive. If I were to show you how to do this, you'd say, really? That's weird. But then this powerful sound would come out, or controlled sound. So support seems to help every aspect of a voice use, from singing low notes to high notes, from opera to rock singing, country, R&B, jazz, folk music. It doesn't matter. The vocal cords don't work themselves. Well, when we work them from underneath.
Mm. Now, what's the best way to, you know, this is what you hear about, you know, taking care of your voice. I mean, you know, you hear you drink hot tea and with honey and things like that. What is the best way to take care of your voice and your vocal cords?
I think a lot of people, because they don't understand how their voice works, they worry. And so there are a lot of myths out there about, I've got to have my grapes. If I have my grapes, I'm going to sing great. Or I've got to wear a scarf. In fact, it's how you sing and how you speak that is the best thing you can do for your vocal cords. Yes, we need water. We need maybe a little more water than the average person.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no particular foods that are going to make one sound better. Even throat sprays. There's a myth about throat sprays, thinking if I spray my throat, my cords will work better, I'll sing better. When in fact, when you spray into your mouth, none of that touches your vocal cords. So it's just spraying the back of your mouth, and it may feel moist, which may make you feel a little better. So I guess hydration is the most important thing. There are certain things that are not advised prior to singing, and that is coffee, a black tea, ice, anything with ice in it,
mm-hmm.
or anything that's too hot, perhaps. But in the end, I know lots of people, and they have their tea and their ice and hot drink, and they sing just fine because they know what they know how to sing,
right.
And then they don't have to worry and hopefully feel lucky by what they try to, you know, the potions they try to use.
Mm-hmm.
But hydration is vital. Like the inside of your cheek is kind of mushy and wet, so too do the vocal folds. They must stay wet all the time. And anything that makes them too thick a mucus, like for some people milk, cheese, cottage cheese, ice cream, yogurt, chocolate even, can make the mucus thick and make you clear your throat, and that can make you hoarse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Fascinating stuff. Lisa Popiel is with us, one of the foremost voice experts and the creator of the VoiceWorks method. Tell me about the VoiceWorks method and how you created that.
The VoiceWorks method is really two things. One, it's the basic skills of singing and speech, posture, breathing, support, range, vibrato, resonance, larynx positions, vocal fold closures, and tips on different styles. And the other thing that VoiceWorks is everything I know that's in my head and everything I ever will know. So it's not in stone. Everything's up for improvement and change and refinement. But I think there are certain basic skills every singer should know about, and that's what I'm primarily calling the VoiceWorks method. And I love to sing different styles. I love to just sing, depending on my mood, do I want to sing opera right now or do I want to sing gospel music? And so my approach is the big picture of singing, not just focusing on one style.
So right.
The Total Singer DVD that I made in the mid-90s has tips on singing 8 different vocal styles and gives information on how to sing and how to understand the basic concepts of singing.
Oh, that's fascinating. Lisa, hang on, okay?
Sure.
We're going to take a quick break here. Lisa Popiel is with us, and you can check out popiel.com. That's P-O-P-E-I-L, one of America's foremost voice experts. Check out Total Singer DVD and the VoiceWorks method, and we'll talk more coming up right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. Hello. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower until 5 a.m., and then we hang out for hour number one of the Steve Cochran Show. And my guest right now is Lisa Popiel. She is one of America's foremost voice experts, the creator of the VoiceWorks method. And we welcome her back to the show. Lisa, so I see that you have actually performed and recorded with the likes of Frank Zappa and Weird Al Yankovic. Tell me about that.
Well, after I got out of college in around 80, I had an opportunity to audition for Frank Zappa and was actually in his band for a short time and performed and recorded with him.
Wow.
It was one of the most, if not the most challenging musical experience of my life. Very demanding. He really expected people to come up to a certain impossible level, and we all did our best at doing that. Mm. And some of those songs that I did with him are still available. And Weird Al is I've been friends with since the early 80s, and I'm on almost all his albums, and I'm really excited about his last album because it's called Mandatory Fun, because it's my first number one album. I mean, I'm singing on only one song, but
yeah.
It's a terrific song. It's Tacky.
You sing on Tacky.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, for those who haven't heard it, it's the parody of Pharrell Williams' Happy, which is such a great song to me. That's the song of the year. And the video that Al made is astounding. I mean, how he got all those friends, his A-listers together to do a one-take video. It's really a marvelous piece of directing.
Yeah.
And this song, I'm only singing on the last half. I'm doing all the background vocals on the last half of the song. And I'm so excited for him. He had no idea that his album was going to be number one.
Well,
number one for long, but I'm so excited.
No, I love Weird Al. I just love him. And I was so happy, and it was so brilliant the way that he released those songs. I mean, he was leaking videos on the internet every day, and it caused a total buzz. I mean, everybody was very, very excited about a new Weird Al, you know, video every day.
And people were saying in the media that he was creating a new format for this sort of disintegrating record business, that this is the way it's going to be. And it really started, I think, because his record company didn't pay for the videos. So he went to all his connections, all his buddies, all the different comedic websites that, that did video production that he'd worked with. And I believe what he said to them was, you know, each one, he said, if you co-produce this video with me, I'm going to give you exclusive rights to it. And it just worked out. Everybody worked out for everybody.
Yeah, it really did. It's great. It's a, I was very excited. And, you know, the first comedy album to be number one since Alan Sherman. And 50 years ago is what I read.
50 years ago, is that right?
Yeah, Alan Sherman's My Son the Nut by Alan Sherman was the last number one comedy album on the Billboard charts until Weird Al.
And I think, too, with everything going on in the world, people just want a break.
Yes.
They just want to laugh. Yes. They want to be silly. It's just it's so heavy right now in every way.
And it
so
is.
It was his time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I have not mentioned that your last name is Popiel. And people will probably recognize that name, and it's not a coincidence. You are indeed part of the Popiel family, the famous Popiel family.
I am. Chicago is my hometown.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, your father, Sam Popiel, who is the inventor of the Veg-O-Matic and the Pocket Fisherman.
Yes.
And your brother is Ron Popiel, who
we've
seen on infomercials for years and years and years selling really cool items. Tell me a little bit of what it was like to grow up in that household and to be a part of this really famous family.
Well, I got to say that both Ron and my dad were really into it. They didn't just create and market for the money. They did it because they love the process. So I grew up with vegetables everywhere and cookbooks. They both are just crazy about creating cookbooks, buying cookbooks and then experimenting and creating new recipes. They were serious about it. In fact, one of the funny stories about my dad was that he was like a dog with a bone. He would just keep thinking, how can I get more uses out of any one product? And his tool and die maker would say, Sam, it's time, SJ, he'd call him SJ, time to move on. Let this go. It's good enough. Let go. Move. Next project. So it was about problem solving. And I think they really both believed that they're making people's lives easier and better. And I'm not just saying that so people will dial that 800 number because operators are standing by. They really believe that. I mean, one time we were cooking in the kitchen in Chicago, and I took out a cutting board and a knife, and I started slicing some mushrooms for the salad. And my dad said, well, why aren't you using the Veg-O-Matic? And I said, well, by the time I get it set up and use it and clean it and put it away, we'll already have had dinner. And he said, in all earnestness, but don't you want even slices? So I said, okay. And I've got this silly grin on my face, and he had to show me how it works. And Ron is still, though he's quote unquote retired, he is still at it. He's been working on his latest product for, I think, 12 years now. He calls it his Sistine Chapel. And he's, he relaxes and he goes on vacation and he travels and he enjoys his life. But he also works with great devotion at perfecting his latest product. He can't stop.
Yeah. Lisa, do you have some of these things? Do you have the Showtime rotisserie? Do you have the food dehydrator? Do you have any of that stuff in your kitchen?
I do. I have a little, it's not quite a shrine, but I do have, I try to have everything, especially the things that were very old, before I was born even. And there is a terrific guy in Chicago. He's the cultural historian of the city of Chicago, Tim Samuelson. And he coined this term Popieliana. And he goes on eBay and puts in Popiel. And so anything that comes up that he doesn't have, you know, whether it's a slightly different color of something or a different year, different model, different instruction booklet, he's got everything. And that inspired me to get at least one of everything. And I've got a lot from eBay.
That's great. That really is great. That's so cool. Well, Lisa, you are one of the foremost voice experts, the creator of the VoiceWorks method. If people want to get involved and you know, do like because you do Skype singing lessons and things like that, how can people get in touch with you if they're interested in developing their voice?
Well, I just invite people to come and see my website, and I've got lots of free video tips on there as well, and they can contact me right through the website. Skype lessons is a whole new world. I've got students in far-flung countries, and it works surprisingly well.
Lisa, really a pleasure talking to you.
It's been a delight for me, too. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Okay, have a great morning, okay?
Bye-bye.
Bye. There's Lisa Popiel. Check out popiel.com. That's P-O-P-E-I-L. And we have a link on our Facebook page. That was fun. All right, take a quick break. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.